Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. The new camp was at least shaded by the rubber trees, although the water situation was pretty tense. Pat Blake and I were discharged from hospital the day after we arrived. Pat went up to the hills to be a district nurse, and I joined the hospital staff in Hut 13. We are back on the sloping barley again, but this time we have boards and not branches to lie on. They're much more comfortable, but full of bugs and rats. We have about 22 inches of bed space each. We seem to be packed in again, but we do have a concrete floor and galvanized iron roof to keep us dry. The hut is in the prettiest little gully, and the creek flows only 10 yards away from our door. Looking out at it, I could almost believe we are up in the hills near Gembrook at home. My first night in the hut, it rained hard. It sounded like hail on the iron roof.
Just listen to that rain. That ought to fill the well. We better be up early in the morning, Jeff, and get a few buckets filled.
Oh, it's good to be on deck again. To be able to do something useful instead of lolling about like a lily.
I don't want to be unkind, dear, but anything less like a lily than you I have never seen.
I was thinking of one of those exotic black lilies with red spots on it.
You've certainly got the red spots. What do you suppose they are, Jeff?
Oh, I don't know. They're damn painful.
You seem to be the only one with them.
No, Chris Oxley has them. Every week they show up, regular as clockwork. They make you feel so sick. The next day, when the redness disappears, we're so stiff it's difficult to walk. It's impossible to bend your knees.
I wonder if it's got anything to do with beriberi.
Oh, it could be. After the stiffness is gone, we swell up like fat pigs. I've noticed the swelling goes further up our bodies with each attack.
That must be attractive.
And when you get it and malaria together, it's most uncomfortable.
I can't think why I've missed having malaria. I feel out of it, as if I've missed something.
Well, you can't have everything.
Oh, I think I'll turn in.
Very quiet inside. I think everybody's gone to bed.
It's nice to know that we can sleep dry for a change. Oh, I'm tired.
You keep going your way. Keep going my way, river, stay away from my door. Don't come up.
Lachie, what's happened?
Good morning, Jeff. We're isolated, look.
Well, for Pete's sake, what has happened?
The creek's risen and we're completely surrounded by floodwaters. We'll have to wade out to the hospital.
Oh, gee, it must be about 2 feet deep.
Oh, it is. Think of the fun when it subsides. We'll be surrounded by a bog then.
Blanche, what happens about bathing? I know we jump in the creek, but where?
See that bit of attap strung across the creek in front of House 12?
Yes.
Well, that's where you bath, the other side of that.
Not very private, is it?
No. The hay hoes and Jap guards lounge about under the trees over there on the bank and watch us blast them. They have a quite uninterrupted view. But there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, I suppose this morning we could trick them. We could just jump in here.
Hello there!
Hi, Woody.
This is nice, isn't it? I wonder if we're going to live in a permanent lake.
Where have you been?
Oh, I've just come off duty at the hospital.
Anything new?
Miss Dryborough died in the early hours.
Oh,
poor dear. An awful move from Muntoc. We thought it'd be too much for her. She was desperately ill before we left.
She was a wonderful person. She'll be terribly missed.
Yes, I know. She worked so hard and gave all the people in the camp such great pleasure with her music. And her calmness was so reassuring.
Well, come on, Jeff. We've got so much work to do. What is it? The dead must wait on the living?
Hello, everyone.
Oh, hi there.
Hi, Miss. Have you heard the latest infamy about the Red Cross parcels?
I haven't heard anything about Red Cross parcels.
Well, they're here up at the guardhouse.
Oh, we knew that.
But the reason the Jap won't give them to us is because the Americans sank the ship that was carrying the receipt for them.
Oh,
what will they think of next?
Lord knows we could do with Red Cross supplies. It was so wonderful for a day or two, the different vegetables. Starvation has set in again with our vengeance.
When I first saw carrots, chocos, and decent long beans, I was so surprised I could hardly eat them.
Yes. And this pointless business of bringing sweet potatoes and dumping them just outside the guardhouse in the largest pool of water and not letting us touch them until they're thoroughly bared out. It's no more or less than sadism.
The whole behavior from start to finish of the Japanese is based on sadism.
Hey, everyone! Quickly! Lunchy!
That,
Jeff!
That's Val. She steamed up about something.
We're in here, in the hut.
Come quickly. Letters.
Letters have arrived.
Letters?
Come on, where?
Come on, quickly. Where do we go, Val?
Letters. I can't believe it.
What a day. Every one of us received a large bundle of letters from home. Ioli at last has heard from her family. We both received 20 letters, most of them 25-word ones, and all dated 1942 and 1943, only 3 years old. In one of mine were some snaps. I get them out twice a day and gaze with wonder at the fat on everybody. Such fat little legs on the children compared with the poor little mites in the camp here. I guess we must look pretty skinny, but have got used to seeing thin people around of us. None of the Australians has a tail to sit on these days. We're just made up of skin and bone. I don't know why we don't rattle. It's not to be wondered at, of course. When the meat ration that we were promised occasionally comes in, it turns out to be a piece weighing about 5 pounds to feed 640 people. May the 14th, 1945, my fourth birthday in this camp. One way and another, it's been quite a day.
Where's Jeff, Mitz?
Oh, outside, poor dear, debugging her mosquito net. Oh, I don't know where the fleas and bugs come from. I really don't, Woody.
Out of the barley. They're swarming with them.
I know, but we keep the hut as clean as a whistle. But every morning we have to do this revolting chore of taking everything out in the sun and going over them.
Yeah, there's so many seams in our nets, they're quite a haven for these little brutes.
I suppose so.
Oh, what a rotten job to have to do on your birthday.
Oh, dear. It's not going to be much of a day for her. None of us can give her a party this year.
Yeah. Well, thank heaven that's done. Oh, hello, Woody.
Hello. Many happy returns of the day, Jeff.
Oh, don't wish her that, Woody, for goodness sake.
Oh, why not?
Well, she doesn't want a return of this day, do you, Jeff?
Well, so far it's been a very nice day.
Oh, has it?
Yes. I only said that, unfortunately, she had malaria yesterday, so she couldn't eat her rice. Mm-hmm. She produced it this morning, fried up with potato leaves from our new garden.
Oh, oh, it was delicious. Anyway, happy birthday, Jeff, and lots of them.
That's the important bit.
Thanks, Woody.
Many happy returns, Jeff.
Oh, thank you, Val.
I have brought you a small token of my esteem on this auspicious occasion. Here we are with my love.
What on earth?
It's your goodness.
Oh, Val. Look at it, Woody. Mitz, it's a tiny doll. Oh. Why, it's the Chap Guard bully.
Oh,
do
no,
look. Red stars on his collar and all.
He's wonderful. Did you make him, Val?
Yes, Mitz.
Oh, thank you, Val. I think he's wonderful. Really, I... What's the matter, Jeff?
Oh, nothing. Oh, I'm all right.
You don't look all right. Lie down here.
Oh, it's all right, I tell you.
Lie down and don't argue.
Yes, sister.
Listen, Jeff. You're going over to the hospital to have a checkover. You've been feeling odd and peculiar for a long time now.
Oh, I'll go one of these days.
Woody's right, Jeff. You should go.
Come on, Jeff. I'll take you over.
Now, Dr. McDowell has enough to do, so the other doctors. Am I really ill?
Dr. Goldberg's on duty. And it won't hurt her to have a look at you. She's not that busy.
Cat.
Well.
Go on, Jeff. I'll put your knit in the hat and your present on your bed space.
Oh, well, if it makes you any happier. I think I know what's the matter. Having it confirmed won't help much.
First of all, you are carrying a flea on you, sister.
Well, that's not surprising, Doctor. Our hut is alive with them.
Then you should clean it and get rid of them.
Well, I'm sorry to have wasted your time, Dr. Goldberg, if that's all that's the matter with me.
There is something else, definitely.
Yes?
I find that you definitely have tuberculosis. The lung is definitely infected.
I see.
I strongly advise that you have a week in hospital.
A week?
Definitely.
And then?
You will be better. How long since you were in hospital?
Not since the first day we arrived here.
There you are. You need a rest, that is all. You must come in here at once.
So that was that. It was a fine birthday. Things must have changed in the medical world. Oh, they're very different in German medicine. If just having a rest for a week can cure a spot on the lung, what's all the fuss about? The only thing that worries me is that lately it's been cold at night, but I've been burning up with heat, so the girls take it in turn to lie next to me to get warm. If I have got this darn thing, and I think I have, I hope that I haven't been gaily spreading it about. I must be careful from now on. What am I worrying about? Next week I shall be cured. Definitely. I'm out of hospital again after my week of rest to cure the spot on my lung. Yesterday, Dr. Goldberg came and gave me a check over and said I was cured. Definitely. I can't say that I feel much different, but that could be because I was on duty most of the time. I was resting. Chicken and ducks are coming in now for the hospital patients. They're so thin, the poor birds look as if they'd welcome death. The Japs charge 45 guilders for each bird. We're working very hard at the hospital. It's packed with patients the whole time now.
Hello, Jeff. You been on duty again?
Yes. I think we'll have to reorganize things, Val.
Oh, how do you mean?
I was talking to Jess Doyle at the hospital, and she agrees that we should only do an hour at a time on duty now. It's about all we can take without keeling over.
Yes, that'd be a good idea. It shouldn't be too hard to work out a roster. An hour off and an hour on duty.
Yes.
Oh, what a morning.
Hello, Val. Where are you off to?
I'm just going to cut a bit of wood. The wood situation is pretty grim again.
I thought we were over the axe-swinging days, but no.
Well, I've just spent the best part of the morning trying to coax Gladys Hughes to eat. Oh, Jeff, isn't it awful? Mm. They're so ill, and all you can do is sit beside them on the barley, feeding them cold grey rice, half a teaspoonful every 5 minutes.
It doesn't seem to help much, does it, Mitz? Still, we have discovered it doesn't matter how ill a person is, she can't afford to miss her rice.
No, I know. Like that Dutch woman.
Mm.
If they absolutely refuse and make it impossible for us to feed them, they'll soon die. It's very grim nursing.
Trying to treat tropical ulcers and infections with red palm oil that's kept in an old beer bottle. I bet Hippocrates is turning cartwheels.
You know, I think it's time we stopped doing outside chores like wood chopping, Jeff. We've got our time cut out nursing and doing our own chores. By the time Val has cut that wood, she'll be utterly exhausted. Then she has to go on duty. No, it's ridiculous.
Well, what do we do about it, Mitz? Working squads are being organized by the Japs. And you can bet we'll be on them.
Oh, we'll see what happens. If none of us turns up, I don't suppose they can do much to us.
Oh, here's Val coming back now. I wonder what she... Hey, Mitz, look at her hand. It's covered in blood.
Oh, of all the rotten bits of luck.
Now, what is it? What have you done?
Cut the top of my bleeding thumb off.
Quick, over to the hospital. We can tie it up.
Oh, blast it. Now I won't be able to knit.
Well, at last the nips are going to do something for us.
I don't believe it. What?
I have just been told to invite you all to the top of the hill to hear a recital to be given by a Jap band.
What?
What do you think of that?
Well, if you've got time, I'll tell you.
That's lovely. They spend their time starving us, pinching our Red Cross parcels, knocking us about generally, and then have the nerve to ask us to...
hear a Jap band, of all things. Uh-uh, not me.
This must be the last item on the list of how to treat prisoners. Hmm. This is to cheer us up, I suppose.
Well, I'm not walking up the hill in the heat to hear them. I don't need cheering up that badly.
Are you going, Mitz?
No. I'd be the only Australian there. None of the others could bear the thought either.
And when is this feast of rare music to take place?
At 2:30, in about 5 minutes.
Oh, I didn't see them arriving.
Oh, I did. They came armed with their own chairs.
Well, I'd have to bring those. There isn't one in the whole camp.
Here comes Goldteeth, the new interpreter. Wonder what he wants.
You Australians, hurry up to a hill. Chapat.
We're not going, thank you.
Not going?
No. We don't like music.
All right.
That's right. We're all tone deaf.
Duck, Shorty.
I'll get up on hill and hill.
Look out! If he hits you with that great club he's got, he'll brain you.
Go on. Chapat. Go to top of hill.
I'll go to Bulgaria.
All Australians will go to top of hill and hear a band. Hurry.
Hey,
hurry.
Oh, phew. Oh, I came up there like farlap.
I don't wonder with his nips swinging that stick over our heads. At least it's shady up here.
Oh, I didn't bring any chairs for their audience. Oh, the whole camp's up here by the look of it.
Well, will you look at them?
Hmm? Who?
The band. They're all dressed alike and shaved.
I don't believe
it. They are. And they don't seem to have quite such a look of hatred on their faces.
Well, I'll be jiggered.
We all will when they start to play.
We were completely astounded. They played all German music, mostly overtures and waltzes we knew. It was our first taste of music, real music, for years. Most of us wanted to howl when the music started. I know I had a terrible struggle for the first 10 minutes. And then, for 2 hours, we all forgot we were prisoners. We've come down to earth with a bump again. We're tasting life in the raw now. And how?
Oh, it's good to sit out here.
away from the maddening crowds, isn't it?
Yes. There's one good thing about this camp, or at least this hut. It's quieter.
Yes.
You can hear the creek running tonight.
Oh, here comes Shorty with our rations from the community kitchens.
Oh, hello, Shorty. What's for dinner?
A glass of water with a worm in it for me.
Oh, charming.
Why? What's that you've got there?
Stew.
Uh-huh.
Monkey stew.
What? Oh,
you heard. Monkey stew. The Nips brought in one, I repeat, one tiny monkey to make stew for over 600 people. This is it.
Have you tried it?
No. The smell's enough for me. It stinks to high heaven.
Hello, everyone. Hey, what's to eat?
I don't think there'll be anything tonight, Val. Unless you can tackle this.
What is it? Oh, how revolting. What on earth is...
Monkey stew, dear.
Oh, no. And I'm starving.
Are you game to try it, Val?
Hungry as I am, I don't think I could come at that. I'll just fill up on water.
Where have you been?
On working squad. I don't think I can keep it up. What's killing?
We were talking about it a while ago, Jeff and I. I got sidetracked. Oh, something happened.
Oh, that was the day Val cut her thumb. Oh, how is it, Val?
Healing. But I dropped a rock on it today. That didn't help much.
Oh, what were you doing with rocks?
Well, we started out to cut rubber trees. And then we were walked for miles to the main road and had to move a pile of rocks from one side of the road to the other.
Why?
I don't know, Mitz. One of the women with us said that the last time she was out in a squad, they'd moved the same rocks from exactly the same place as we took them back to today. So there you are.
Oh, it's ridiculous. We have much more to do with our time than that sort of nonsense. I'll tell the Commandant that we won't be going on the working parties in future.
No. We Australians have done more than our share of chopping trees, digging drains and clearing roads. Let the others do some now while we take care of the sick.
Shorty, where's everyone?
Jeff's in the hut, Blanchie. I think Mitz and Val are there too. Why, what's up?
I've got news. Jeff! Hey, Jeff, come out here. I've got great news.
Well, I was just going to turn in, Blanchie.
Jeff isn't the best, Blanchie. What's it all about?
This'll make her feel better. It'll make you all feel better.
Well, what is it, Blanchie?
The war with Germany is over.
Really?
What?
Oh, it's not just another rumor.
What's all the fuss?
The war with Germany is over.
But we thought that was over before last Christmas.
Yes, well, we were a bit previous. Oh, I wonder if it's true this time.
I think so, Mitz. I've heard it from various people, but they all told the same story.
Oh, I bet there'll be some celebrating in the English lines tonight.
Oh, if only it's true.
And
oh,
that's not all.
Now, don't tell me that the war with Japan is over and you've kept that till last to tell us.
They say that the Americans have taken a small island, or it begins with an O, to the south of Japan.
Oh, that's wonderful. Then it shouldn't be long now.
That should give them a good base for attacking Japan direct.
Oh, that's what we've been waiting to hear.
Oh,
let's celebrate. I think I've got some coffee left in my tin.
Right, huh?
Apo kamo among tentang.
What?
Asking us what we're talking about.
Apo kamo among tentang.
Quick, say something.
Kami among tenang, karat poon.
Oh, masokroma. Kamo beken banyak bunye. Chapat, chapat. Masokroma. Masokroma.
Let me sit down before I fall down.
That was close. That was close, I'll say. Sneaking Debbie's got rubber soles on. I didn't hear him sneak up.
Come on, we better go inside.
Why, Shorty?
Well, he told us to. That we were making too much noise. And we don't want him back here.
What was that you said to him, Shorty?
I said, we were talking about the rubber trees.
Well, that would be an interesting topic.
Oh, I couldn't think of a thing. Thank heavens it wasn't Gold Teeth. He'd have understood every word we said. Oh, how they hate us.
Never mind. If what we've heard is true, it won't be long before those little yellow devils are finished off.
Let's get that coffee. I need it.
That was a few days ago, but we haven't heard any more news. We just live on in the hope that these rumors were true, and that soon now we will be free. It must be soon now, or it won't matter. Another one of our sisters died today, Gladys Hughes, the only New Zealander with our group of army nurses. This is getting worse and worse. Help must come soon.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend, and produced by Fifi Banbard for Australasian Radio Productions.